In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
It's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're going to have the topic of fear. Oh, you might say that I don't fear, but everyone fears. The scripture says from Isaiah 35, "Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God." He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Oh, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then will the lame weep like a stag, then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools and the thirsty ground springs of water. Be strong. Fear not. But if we wanted to really admit it, none of us is strong. And fear sometimes plays a part in our life that we don't want it to play. That's real. I'm going to tell you, when I was in the seminary, I remember being afraid to read in front of the congregation. Why? Because just the last time I read, I hyperventilated. And when I hyperventilated, I said, well, the next time I might hyperventilate again. But you know what happened? Oh, I started praying and get people praying for me that God was with me and I had no right to be afraid. And I had to push that fear to the nth degree. I said, when I read in front of my classmates, one thing can happen. If I get afraid, I fall and I pick myself up and do it again. Just bring it to the nth degree. I'd fall, I pick myself up, and I start again. You see, fear is useless. It is very real. The Bible tells us to fear not 365 times in the scriptures. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? Because God is with you. Because God comes with vindication, with divine recompense. God comes with his power. So we do not have to be afraid. But I know everyone has fears. Everyone has fears. And the only way you deal with fear is with faith. You deal with fear with faith. You ask Jesus to come and be your companion. You know, lately I have this irrational fear. Most of my fears are irrational, but they're real. That I was afraid to drive. Now, where that came from, I'm sure it came from hell, but that gripped me. But what I started to do is I started to drive anyway. I drove to Nahant almost every single day. And then just a month ago, I drove to Maine. I asked Jesus to be my companion. Why are you afraid to drive? You've driven for years and years and years. I don't know why. I do know that you combat fear with faith and you do the things you're afraid to do. That's what you do. You do the things you're afraid to do. If I had 50 people here today and they were honest, we would have 50 people who happen to be afraid of something. I remember being afraid of dying. Oh yes, I was afraid of dying. And you know, I'm preaching on the radio, I'm preaching at Mass, I'm preaching every place, but I had this fear of dying. So one day I said to the Lord, "Okay, God, I don't want this anymore. I want you to know and to let me know that when I die, I'm going to be absolutely ready. and it's not going to be 1 minute before or 1 minute after the time you call me. I have no need to be afraid of dying. And that left. It left. It left because Jesus Christ says, fear not. Jesus Christ says, be strong. And I know we're not strong, but in Him we're strong. In Him our faith is strong. In Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him. In Jesus. Everyone has fear, and it's the worst thing in the world that you take into yourself, but it's so subtle. It's so subtle. Some people are afraid of going on an airplane. Oh, yes. What if the plane should crash? Well, my friends, don't drive, because there are more crashes in cars than there happen to be in airplanes. We don't want to think that way. We pray before we do the things we're afraid of. Lord Jesus, I do this in your name, and I ask you to accompany me on that airplane so that I can get to my promised destination soon rather than long. Fear. It's something that's real. But the Lord says 365 times in the Bible, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. I am with you. I am with you. Fear not. And today, I want you to look at what you're afraid of. To look at what you're afraid of. And I want you to hear the word of God. Be strong. Fear not. Why? Because God comes with vindication for you. Because He comes with divine recompense for you. Yes. And then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then the lame will leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Fear not. Fear not. Oh, you just say, in Jesus, I invite you into the middle of my life, and the very things that I'm afraid of, I ask you to come with me, because I'm going to do them anyway. I'm going to do them anyway, by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I'm going to do them anyway. And I know you're going to help me. You're going to help me through this. You're going to help me in this. I'm not going to not do this. I'm going to look at my fear, and I'm going to say, Jesus, you're bigger than my fear. You're God Almighty. Come and let me do the thing that I'm afraid of. And then fear breaks into what? Into faith. Into faith. Doing the very things that God wants us to do, and not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. Fear has conquered so many people. Mothers and fathers afraid of their drug-addicted children, that they're going to die. Let me tell you this. You've got to put those children in the hands of God, and you cannot fix them. You are not able to fix them, but there is one who is able to fix them. His name is Jesus, and you put them in the hands of God. You say, yes, Father Tom, but you don't know what it is to have children. That's right. But I have to put everything in the hands of God, because if I don't, I'd be living in fear. And I'm not supposed to be living in fear. I'm supposed to be living in faith. I'm supposed to be graced by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true. That's true. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Tell the Lord, I believe in you, Jesus. I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender these fears, and I'm going to do what I'm afraid to do. I'm going to be brave in the Lord, to be strong in the Lord, not in my own strength, not in my own experience, but in the Lord. Fear not. Fear not. Those whose hearts are frightened, be strong. Fear not, because your God is your vindication and your recompense, and He comes to save you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's real. That's real. Then I'm looking at Mark 7:31. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. Now, the Decapolis means 10 cities. They were Gentile cities. And people brought to Jesus a deaf man who had a speech impediment, and they begged Jesus to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him off by himself away from the crowd. Why? These are Gentiles. They have no faith. Jesus did not want any of their vibes to disturb the man, so he gets the man all alone, distant from the people, and he took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger in the man's ear, spitting touched the tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said, "Ephrata," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." I tell you, Jesus does all things well. He made you, my friends. And you know what? He does all things well. You might say, "I don't feel that I'm very good." I'm going to tell you, God doesn't make junk. He made you, and he made you not to be afraid, and he made you good. Everything God has done is done well. He has done all things well. And what has he done? He's made you. And there is no mistake that he made you. And you say, "But I'm so afraid." Well, I'm telling you, invite Jesus into that fear. Invite Jesus into that fear and do what you're supposed to do. Conquer it by the grace of God. It's very interesting. I remember someone coming to me many years ago, and they were afraid of something. And I tried to convince them that Jesus was going to take that fear away. And you know what? They never gave the fear up. And guess what happened? The thing he was afraid of became the thing that happened. Fear is useless. Just trust Jesus. It doesn't help to be afraid. And again, I tell you, sometimes it's very irrational. In the seminary, when I was reading and I started to hyperventilate, that was irrational. Why? Because I had spoken to many people, hundreds of people at one time, and now I cannot speak. I'm hyperventilating. And if I do that next time, they'll throw me out of the seminary. So I just had to, as I said, I had to take that fear and put it at the end and say, "What would happen if I hyperventilate? The worst thing that will happen is I fall, and I'll pick myself up and I'll start again." But when I did read again, I had my friends pray. As they were praying, I was reading, and God made it well. God made it well. Sometimes when I go to preach the gospel and read the gospel, I hear, "You're going to hyperventilate," and I smile and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is irrational, and I'm not going to deal with this today. I'm going to read the gospel, and I'm going to proclaim it loudly, because the gospel sets people free. Jesus sets people free. Jesus, who died and who was buried and rose from the dead, sets people free." Oh, yes, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Do you understand what I'm saying today? Ah, it is so important that we not live in fear. that we live in faith. It is so important that we live in faith and not in fear. It is so important. Jesus himself, see, he takes the man away from the crowd and the unbelieving crowd. That's why when you have a believing congregation, healing flows much more than when you have an unbelieving congregation. That's real. That's real. I remember praying with some ladies. They just doubted everything, and God healed them all that night. God healed them all then. I never forget it. And you know what? I saw them again, and the lady said, "I'm still healed." They thought this healing stuff was crazy. They thought Jesus, they were afraid of Jesus, you know. And that's real. People are afraid of Jesus. Because Jesus subconsciously says, "I want your whole life. I want your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the blessed, and the cursed." I had two people come to me recently. They're beautiful people from Nigeria. And I prayed with them to break the curse that was on their life. I don't know if it happened, but I do know I prayed it, and I believed it. And they were two people who were desperately looking for someone to pray for them. They came on Sunday, and this is funny because I said, "Well, I can see you people at 7:15 before we start our praise and worship service." And then I started to think, these people are going to be waiting for hours. I just called them again, and they were in the bus coming here. I said, "Come right to the rectory, and we'll do it today, right now, when you reach the rectory, we'll pray." There's so much need, so much need of someone to lay hands upon the sick and they will be healed. There is so much need. That doesn't mean we don't go to doctors. Of course we go to doctors. But we go to the best physician. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. We prayed with another person who had a back injury, and I'll never forget this, because after we prayed, he moved his back and it crackled. It crackled, and the injury was gone, but then it came back again. Why do things happen like that? I have no idea. I have no idea, but I know his back crackled, and he says, "This never happened before." So what am I going to do? I'm going to pray with him again. I'm going to pray with him again. I'm going to make time to pray with him again. I believe God has already healed him, even though he's experiencing the pain. I believe that crackling noise was a sign of the healing. He said, "This has never happened to me before." So interesting. So interesting that when people are in need, not only do we give them good advice, we want to pray with them and we want to help them. Yesterday I went to the movies. I don't often go to the movies, and I saw War Room. Oh yes, it's a wonderful movie. It's a wonderful movie, War Room. It's not a Catholic movie, but it's a Christian movie, and it's very wonderful. I was sitting next to a priest, as a matter of fact, and there were two priests sitting one next to each other, and it was a real wonderful, wonderful story, not only of prayer, but of discipleship. If the Catholic Church needs anything, it needs to make disciples, not only converts, but disciples. There's a big difference between a convert and a disciple. A disciple is one who, in the spirit, learns from the person who is being who is discipling. And I have some disciples by the grace of God. I have some. But I need to ask the Lord for another one now. I need to have another disciple that I would train this person in the Holy Spirit, not in my own strength, but in the Holy Spirit, that this person would be discipled by Jesus Christ so that he could go disciple other people. This is real. This is real stuff. Get to see that movie. It's called War Room. As a matter of fact, it made more money this weekend than any other movie in that's playing. And I'm going to tell you, movies like this can change people's lives. Movies like this can change people's lives if they accept what's being said and if they do what's being said. And you know what? I believe that this movie is of God. I believe that this movie is of God, and that God is using this movie like he never has used a movie before. We remember the Passion of the Christ, how God used that movie. Now, this is another Christian movie, and it's wonderful. I want to say, get to the theater and see War Room. War Room. You might ask, what's the War Room? I'm not going to tell you. You have to go see it. You have to go see it. You say, but I can't get out of the house. Well, you know what? Eventually it'll come by video in the red box, and you have someone get the red box for you and have see it at home. War Room is its name. I'm reading from James. Brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, our faith is in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there or sit by my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my beloved, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith, to be heirs of the kingdom, as he promised to those who love him? Yes, God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith, but also he's chosen the rich to be rich in faith. Oh, yes, there's no distinction. We're all poor in the sight of God. We all are in very much need in the sight of God. What do we need? We need grace. We need his mercy. We need his love. We need him. We need God. Yes. Do you need him today? Well, tell him, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. Like, I need you. And I'm going to start trusting in you. Find a penny today, and the penny tells you, in God we trust. Find a penny today, and God's telling you, start trusting me. Start trusting me. I am so big that I can overcome your fears. I am so big that I can overcome you. I chose you like I chose other people. Today we celebrate the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary is all about Jesus. She's all about Jesus. Do whatever he tells you to do, is what Mary says at Cana. Mary as the Mother of God, we talk about that, but it's more about Jesus than Mary. It says that Jesus is God, and Mary is the mother of Jesus, who is God. You see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Not only is it about Mary, but whenever Mary is mentioned, Mary always leads people to her Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is her vocation. She brought forth Jesus in Bethlehem, and she brings people to her Son. I would not be here preaching to you if Mary did not bring me to Jesus. Mary brought me to Jesus many years ago in 1968. Hallelujah. 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 And we are to be like Mary. We are to bring people to Jesus and disciple them. Go see the War Room. Go see it. You'll love it as much as I did. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What have we heard today? If we have not heard anything, we've heard, be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Why? Because God is with us. Because Jesus is in us. Do not be afraid. Do not plug into the fear that you have. Do the very thing that you're afraid to do. Do the very thing that you're afraid to do. You say, my fear is irrational. That's right. It might be irrational. But you know what? Do it anyway with Jesus. Invite him to come into your life and to do it with you. Because you know, that's how you conquer it. You conquer it by doing the things you're afraid of with Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.